Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk. I'm Sharon McNeary on 89.3 KPCC. My thanks to Suyapa Portillo, professor at Pritzker College, author of the book Roots of Resistance, A Story of Gender, Race, and Labor on the North Coast of Honduras. And also my thanks to James Frederick, freelance journalist and contributor to NPR. Moving on to something that's a little bit lighter. Right now I'm speaking with Tina Manco, author of Ding Dong, Avon Calling, The Women and Men of Avon Products. You know, a lot of us tend not to answer our doors. As a reporter, I've often knocked on the door and nobody comes. I know they're in there, but they're not coming to the door. But if somebody's trying to preach religion to you or a stranger trying to sell you window cleaning, you know, a lot of us just don't answer. But there was a time way back when that kind of direct door-to-door approach was very popular. Cosmetics company Avon would recruit saleswomen to go knock on the doors of American households to sell items like perfume and toiletries and face creams and lipsticks. In fact, this approach became so popular, it adopted a popular catchphrase, Ding Dong, Avon Calling. Joining us to talk about the history and success of door-to-door Avon salespeople is Katina Manco, author of Ding Dong, Avon Calling, The Women and Men of Avon Products Incorporated. Tina, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the allure of having women knock on your door and try and sell you products?
Well, it's interesting the way that you started off. You know, people don't like to answer their doors. And I think that Avon and a lot of door-to-door selling companies came about at a time, if you think of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, when an awful lot of people came to your door, whether it was the milkman or grocery deliveries or newspapers. There were a lot of houses in a front parlor. There would be a time when people came and were sitting there and showing you things, and it was part and parcel of day. So that's how Avon started, but they started much earlier than that, in the 1890s, actually.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. Listeners, if you were an Avon lady or you remember these Avon ladies and want to weigh in on the conversation, do give us a call at 866-893-5722. You can also comment on the Air Talk page, post on Facebook, or tweet at Air Talk. Now, you're right. Growing up in Gardena in the 60s, we had the milkman come to our house. The only people my mom would actually let in the house were the Fuller Brushman and the Avon lady, and maybe the March of Dimes person if she had to go run find some money to put in the little card, which was a campaign against polio. Why was being an Avon lady so appealing?
It's interesting. I think that Avon was one of the first companies that reached out to women as sales agents. They had been doing that for quite a long time. But the Fuller Brush Man, even by the 1960s, more than half of Fuller Brush Men were women, even by the 1960s. So women had been involved with selling, but much more on personal level sales, home sales. And so cosmetics, shampoos, toiletries, colognes, that type of personal product appealed to women. And the business opportunity appealed to women as well.
But wasn't women selling door-to-door viewed as something very unsavory when it first began? How far back does Avon go?
Well, maybe a little bit in the 1890s and 1910s. The company, as it was known then, was called the California Perfume Company. And they only recruited women, and they did it in a way that was unusual. These weren't traveling agents. They did not go from town to town. Rather, they were people who lived in their communities who sold to their friends and neighbors. And so kind of the social cachet of selling high quality perfumes and toiletries kind of took care of that issue of kind of the seediness of a traveling salesman.
And so how would people be paid if you were an Avon lady? And did it change over time?
The thing about Avon is that it doesn't really change much over time. Avon ladies aren't paid by the company, but rather they keep a commission. So if they sell their product and a person pays them a dollar for their bottle of shampoo, the Avon lady will end up keeping 30 or 40 cents of that. So she's a wholesale distributor. She sends the orders into the company. They send her product. When she collects the money for the product, she keeps the difference. And so that system of credit was really important for women so that they could send in those orders and then later be able to keep the commissions. And the company does that even through today. They are not a multi-level marketing company. They're not recruiting people. You're not trying to get commissions on the sales of your downline. It was appealing to many people because it was that simple formula of orders to sales and keeping the commission.
They didn't have to invest in a whole lot of product that might sit in your garage, as
right.
certain other companies have had happen. Well, I mean, how good a living was this for women at a time when women's employment was not super common or super accepted? Was it a huge piece of a woman's household budget?
Could be. Depended on how much she wanted it. To be. So there's women who will sell a lot and who will go out every day or in every sales campaign and try to sell. And then there's women who just have it as a hobby, and they call them hobby sales, where you'll sign up in time for Christmas or for a particular item that you want to buy, earn enough for that, and then they stop. So the average sales of an Avon lady is actually very low across the company. Most do not stay with it for more than 3 or 4 months. And they kind of get the sales that they want or discover they don't like doing it, and they're done. And so there's a huge turnover of Avon ladies.
Well, now, what happened with the company during World War II and after? Because lots and lots of women entered the workplace during the war.
Yes. The company kind of really cuts back during the war. They had been doing pretty well, actually, throughout the Depression. A lot of door-to-door sales companies did. People looked for ways to earn money and signed up really easily, not just with Avon, but with lots of companies. During the war itself, women who took jobs in the war industry, much better paying jobs, and the sales force itself shrunk back, but it became very successful. They had very high levels of sales. These women who stayed earned quite a bit of money with it. And Avon itself started changing the way for its distribution because they took so many war contracts. So Avon really didn't have the production to feed a big consumer market during World War II.
We want to hear stories from Avon ladies from the ages. Do you remember being
an
Avon? Do you remember being an Avon lady? Want to weigh in on the conversation? Do give us a call, 866-893-5722, or comment on our AirTalk page, or post a Facebook post, or tweet at AirTalk. Now, in the 50s and 60s, I mean, the 60s was the female revolution, right? The women's rights movement. How did that change Avon?
Not enough.
Really?
Not much. Not as much as you might think. The interesting thing that I found about the company is the economic empowerment of women's ability to own business, to do business, to earn cash, that women would be motivated by earning cash, is set in the company right from its founding. So by the time the women's movement comes in the 1960s and 70s, it's nothing new. And so Avon kind of builds that. And actually, they end up with a lot of trouble later because for a couple of reasons. One, they don't let or they don't want representatives to sell in their workplaces. Through the 60s and 70s and into the 1980s, Avon envisions that women will be going into private homes to sell individually. And so women who want to bring catalogs to the workplace, they're discouraged from doing so.
Is that right? How Mary Kay made it big?
That's a different
brand?
Story. Okay. Yeah, that's a different story. She's remarkable. It's the same time period, 1960s and 70s.
We'll stick to Ava for now. So you couldn't take the book into the workplace and sell. They still wanted you going door to door.
They still wanted territories. Yeah, home territories and neighborhoods.
Oh my God.
But women do, of course. they do anyway.
Well, I'm speaking with Tina Manco, author of Ding Dong, Avon Calling, The Women and Men of Avon Products Incorporated. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Sharon McNary, filling in for Larry Mantle. Right now I'm speaking with Tina Manco, author of Ding Dong, Avon Calling, The Women and Men of Avon Products Incorporated. I want to ask our listeners out there, were you an Avon lady? Do you remember these Avon ladies and want to weigh in on the conversation? Give us a call at 866-893-5722. Chantel is willing to talk to us about her experience with Avon. Chantel of Newbury Park. Tell me about your mom.
Hi. Yeah, my mom was an Avon lady for, I don't even know how long, at least 12, 15 years. And we moved around a lot. We lived in very rural country areas where homes were 10 to 15 miles apart. And, you know, women didn't have access to the store. They didn't have their own vehicles. They were at home all day. And it was a way for my mother to land in a new area, go around, meet everybody, and the catalogs had anything you wanted. I mean, there's such an array of products. She got to meet people, and the women mostly were at home, so it was a way to pass the time. She got a little mad money or pin money, and when the orders came, I was a little helper, you know, doing the orders and the tickets and bagging, and we'd go out and deliver, and it was a way to socialize, get some money, get to know everyone in the area. And she was President's Club for so many,
oh my gosh,
many years. I have some of her jewelry, her gold-plated dishes, and she won a trip to Orlando in Disney World.
Oh, my God. Well, what life lessons do you carry into adulthood from that experience being her helper?
It was the socialization, being able to create conversation, get to know people, organizing, you know, the inventory and how things worked from a very early age. We'd count out the contents of the box and, you know, sort the orders and everything.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Chantel. So, Tina, is that pretty representative of the Avon ladies you spoke with?
The ones who are very successful or who stay for a very long time, yes, especially the socialization part, the ability to make friendships, to connect with women, you know, about something that's business oriented. But the other thing that Chantel talked about that's really key is that the company was very intent on teaching women business. Like, it wasn't just a little side thing, but they really encouraged organization, inventory, mapping routes, kind of the nuts and bolts of what would make you a successful representative.
What form would these lessons take?
A lot of them were in the forms of pamphlets, especially for rural agents who might not be able to get to meetings, but then the Monday morning sales meeting or the city sales office where people would come in for a few training sessions. Monday morning meetings where you met on a weekly basis and just described, you know, with other Avon ladies what you were doing, what worked well. They learned from one another.
Well, you know, Pasadena has quite a history with Avon. I think it had a distribution center that opened in 1946 and closed a few years ago. I was over there the other day. It's a Home Depot.
Oh, no.
So do you have any idea what the history is of Avon in Pasadena?
Pasadena was the site of one of the very first city sales offices. A woman named Lila Eastman had traveled, and there was always this group of Avon women, even when it was still the California Perfume Company, who traveled 6, 8, 10 months of the year. And Lila Eastman would travel from San Francisco up through Oregon, Washington, Wyoming, Nevada, and back down. And she would, once she got a letter that they wanted her to set up an office in Pasadena. And so she was really the author of these city sales offices about how to recruit, how to hire women to recruit more agents, to train them, what a training meeting would look like. Lila Eastman sounded just a mover and shaker. She took out the first radio ad in Pasadena, where she just decided to say, call the company Avon rather than California Perfume Company. She said it was the middle of the Depression and no one wanted perfume. So she thought that would be better to just call it Avon.
Oh my God, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, here with her experience with Avon is Diane from Irvine. Diane, what did you experience with Avon?
Well, I did it for a very short time, about 6 months. When I was in my early 20s, I was off work due to a back injury, and I started getting worried as I was rehabbing, well, maybe I should earn some extra money. And the problem I had, which is why I stopped, is I would go into people's homes and know they couldn't afford it, and then they would be ordering all this stuff. And after a while, I felt so bad that I had to stop.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for sharing that, Diane from Irvine. Tina, what about that? I mean, this is why I'm not a salesperson. I cannot ask people for things except on behalf of others, which is why I'm a journalist and I always ask them for information. But what about the pressure? How did people cope?
It's true. You're monetizing your social network. You're monetizing your friendships. And it can be very tricky. From what Diane described too, I don't know if maybe she didn't necessarily know the people that she was going to, but it certainly, that relationship can contribute to why a lot of sales representatives in direct selling, stop. Their friends start to see them coming and they know that there's going to be a catalog in hand of products that are more expensive than they want or what they want. And so I think that always needs to be factored in. There was always a group of women who didn't encounter that, could get through those moments better than others. But it is true that sales is not for everyone.
No.
It can be very awkward.
And another way of selling, Tupperware and a couple other places went to the idea of home parties. I think
Princess House. Princess and House. Home interiors and gifts.
Yeah, I never accept invitations to any kind of party like that. Why did Avon not take that approach?
Avon, the Tupperware is founded in the 1940s. I'm going to get my date wrong there, but it grows out of Stanley Home Products. Now, Stanley Home Products was an extension of Fuller Brush. It was an offshoot through its executives. And Stanley Home Products was the first of the home party, where instead of going to a house and you sell to the one individual there, you tell them to invite their friends and they're looking at 10, 15, 20 friends. And it was efficiency, right? It was more efficient sales. And then Tupperware started doing that in the post-war period and Mary Kay. And so that set the ground for recruiting. Like, I do this sales, isn't this fun? You should do this kind of approach. But Avon always just stuck door to door, dual marketing. And they just, it really until the 1980s, when they realized that maybe we should try. And I think I'm through the 19, see, as a historian, I don't go really this far ahead, but in the 1990s, I know they started playing a little bit with multi-level marketing of recruiting somebody, but they really stuck to door-to-door.
But I have to tell you, I mean, I've bought from Avon, but never from an individual. It's just too much. I go online. So is that where Avon is now? Or are they still doing door-to-door?
That's the wave of the future. When Avon is no longer an American company, and so most of their sales right now are internet. They didn't make that transition well into internet.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tina,
thank you so much for your time with us today. That was Tina Minko, author of Ding Dong, Avon Calling, the Women and Men of Avon Products Incorporated. I'm Sharon McNary, filling in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk 89.3 KPCC. Thanks for listening. Have a great afternoon.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.